It's always good to be reminded of who and what our Father is. And so I'd like to do that this morning by speaking on the subject of our great God from Psalm 145 and verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now this verse breaks down very nicely into three main points. One, God's glory stated. Great is the Lord. Two, God's glory praised and greatly to be praised. And then three, God's glory measured and his greatness is unsearchable. And those will be our three points this morning. First of all, God's glory stated. Great is the Lord. And of course, when you see the name Lord capitalized, it's saying, great is Jehovah, the one true and living God, the eternal, the independent, self-existent one, the unchangeable God, the sovereign and supreme being, the God who reveals himself, the faithful, covenant-keeping God, the redeemer of his people, the personal God who enters into relationship with his elect. This God alone is God, as we read in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, where God says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Jehovah, he is the God. Psalm 18. Verse 31. For who is God save the Lord, save Jehovah? Or who is a rock save our God? He alone is God, and he alone is great. That means he is majestic. He is glorious. He is magnificent. He is high and lifted up in regal authority and splendor. The word great means wealthy, strong, powerful, significant, valuable, important, honored, dignified, revered, and excellent. And this is what God is. God is great in everything. He is great in his name, as we saw in Psalm 76, verse 1. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. He's great in his nature. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. And then in verse 21, he is thy praise and he is thy God, and hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. He's also great in glory. Psalm 138 and verse 5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. He's great in all his attributes, such as his power. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. He's also great in might. Jeremiah chapter 10. And verse 6. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. He's also great in wisdom. Job chapter 36. And verse 5. Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. And then he's also great in counsel. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 19. Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And who is this he's speaking of? Verse 18, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. He's also great in goodness. Psalm 145 and verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Oh, how great, inexpressibly great is his goodness. And he's also great in mercy. Psalm 145 and verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. And finally, he's also great in his love. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, in sending his Son to die for us and in quickening us through him. And because God is great, his works are like himself. They too are great. Psalm 92. Verse 4 and 5. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. How great are your works, Lord. Psalm 111. Verse 2 and 3. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. And then in Psalm 126, verse 3, this is the confession of God's people. The Lord hath done great things for us. Indeed he has, whereof we are glad. Now, God's greatness is manifested in his acts of creation. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 6 says, as we saw before, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. And then he shows how that is seen in verses 10 to 12. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and all the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion, to show his glory and greatness. Psalm 96. Verse 4 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Why? For all the gods of the nations are idols. They didn't make the world, and they'll ultimately perish from it. But the Lord made the heavens. He's the great creator, and he endureth forever. And he's also great in his acts of providence, as is seen in his rule over his creation, as he maintains it and sustains it and moves it on to his great ultimate purposes. Psalm 95, verse 3 says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." And then in Psalm 135, he's great in his sovereign authority and rulership over the world. He says in verse 5, "For I know that the Lord is great and that our God is above all gods." How do you know? "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the sea, and in all deep places." So you see his greatness and sovereign might in his works in the world. Thus, God is unique, and he cannot be compared to any other. Exodus 15, verse 11, we see there, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And also, we want to look at Psalm 86. Verses 8 through 10. "Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Only he can do these things, for only he is God." Psalm 77. Verse 13 and 14. "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Nobody. "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people," which was his mightiest work. "The sons of Jacob and Joseph." Selah. So great is our God that his very name is great. Deuteronomy says that we should fear that great and glorious name, the Lord our host. Jeremiah chapter 32. Of course, God's name is who he is and what he does. His character, his nature, his attributes, his works. Verse 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them." The great. First thing he's called, the great. The mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. "Great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." So he's the great judge of all the earth. And so, again, we see here that he's great and that he's the mighty God, the Lord of hosts. And by that we realize that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God come in flesh. Micah chapter 5. You remember in Isaiah 9:6, he's called the mighty God, same as Jehovah is called here. Micah chapter 5. I want verses 2 and 4. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." In other words, he's an eternal one. And then he says in verse 4, "And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth," or be acknowledged to be none less than the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, become incarnate for the work of our salvation. Do you remember in Luke when he was born? Chapter 1, verse 30. When the angel appeared to Mary and brought her tidings of her being to bear the Christ child, he said in verse 30, "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, Jehovah our Savior. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Jesus Christ is God incarnate, the great God manifest in human flesh. And this is, of course, a great mystery. That's what it's called in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." What is that? God was manifest in the flesh. This is a great mystery concerning the great God coming to earth as a man in the person of his Son. And he did come. He did live his life without sin. He did die. He was buried. He did rise again. He did ascend to heaven. And what are we looking for now? Titus chapter 2, verse 13. We're looking for his return. And how is that expressed? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of who? The great God and our Savior. Who's that? Jesus Christ. He's the great God and our Savior. Of course, the greatest of all God's works is the redemption of sinful man by his co-equal Son, Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. By his bloodshedding, death, and resurrection, he has provided for us a so great salvation. We see that in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Any salvation devised by so great a God and wrought out by so great a Savior has to be a so great salvation, "which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord himself and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." And so by this salvation he has delivered us from so great a death, even the death of sin and eternal damnation in hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "It took so great a person doing so great a work of redemption to save us from so great a death." Verse 10, "Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us." And so the greatest blessing a man can possibly receive is the salvation of his soul. And that ends the first point. Great is the Lord. Second point is God's glory praised, and greatly to be praised. God is to be praised both for who he is in himself, as we see in Psalm 18 and verse 3, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And also he's to be praised for what he has done. Psalm 150 and verse 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And most of all, he is to be praised for the salvation that he has wrought for us through his Son. Psalm 21. Verse 1, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Verse 5 says, his glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. Now the word praised means to make to shine, to make clear or brilliant. Then it means to give forth a clear, sharp, loud, and distinct tone or sound. And when it's used in regard to God, it came to mean to make illustrious or glorious, to celebrate, to sing or shout joyfully, to give thanks, to rejoice, to boast, to laud a superior, to bless, to exalt, to magnify, to extol or lift up, or to acclaim. And it means to ascribe to God his greatness. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 3 and 4. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Publish his name. Ascribe greatness to him. That's what it is to praise him. Praise is the recognition, acknowledgement, and expressed appreciation of God's manifest excellence by his rational, worshipful, and adoring creatures, which all Christians are. The only proper response on the part of God's people to God's greatness is worship and praise. David certainly knew this. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 11 says, my sons, David is speaking here to the priests and Levites. He says, my sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. And so that was their purpose, to stand before God. Well, I'm sorry, I want 1 Chronicles 29. There's my mistake. Verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. You are this God, and you do these things for us. And So we now thank and praise thy glorious name. God delights in the praises of his people. The Bible says that he inhabits them in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 and verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. It also says that he is glorified in them. Psalm 50. And verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And we ourselves, as we praise God, we triumph in those praises. Psalm 106. It's the way to victory. Verse 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. And then Psalm 33 and verse 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Remember, we rejoice greatly in him because he's clothed us in righteousness, the righteousness of his Son. And so, for praise is comely for the upright. It's a fitting, proper, and beautiful thing. We have been saved that we might glorify our God by our praises. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Why has God done this for you? That you should show forth the praises of him, the excellencies of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And since God is so great, may our praises be great also. In other words, something that is appropriate to him and in some due proportion to him. Nehemiah said this in chapter 9. Nehemiah 9, verse 5. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. In other words, we can never praise God fully or to the extent of who he is and what he deserves, but may we do our best. He says, Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the sea and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Your name is exalted above all blessing and praise. We can never reach to it with our praises, but we should try. Psalm 149. Verse 5 and 6. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. High praises. Nothing about God should be mean or low. It all should be high. Psalm 104. Verse 1 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. He's greatly to be praised because he's very great. That word greatly means much, especially, exceedingly, mightily, glorious, worthy, highly, vehemently, very diligently. We should never be lax or half-hearted in praising God. So he's greatly to be praised. And the third point is God's glory measured. And his greatness is unsearchable. Or, and of his greatness there is no search. It cannot be diligently probed. It cannot be investigated or examined thoroughly. It's beyond all inquiry or searching out. We cannot plumb its depths or reach its extent. It's far beyond us. And this is just to say that God's glory is immeasurable. So when we say his glory measured, what we're saying is you can't measure it. It's unsearchable. His greatness, like everything else about God, is infinite. We cannot plumb its depths. It's incomprehensible to us and beyond our ability to comprehend. Job chapter 11 expresses this. Verse 7. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? Or unto the totality of who he is? No. It's as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. You can't reach it. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, who then can hinder him? And not only is God's glory immeasurable, but also God's purposes and doings, which are great, like himself, are also beyond our comprehension. Job chapter 5, verse 7. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. His works as well as his person are beyond us. In Job chapter 9, verse 10 to 12, we read, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? Can't even ask him any questions. He gives no account of his matters. He does what he pleases. Now, how can we apply some of these things? Well, first of all, what we learn by this is that because God's greatness is infinite, our praises should be unceasing. Psalm 34. In other words, even though we're going to be praising God from eternity, as one person said, we will not even be able to touch the skirts of the garments of his praise. He is so worthy of praise. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. In other words, let's all work at it as a body. We can't do it individually. We need to do it as a church. And yet, even then, we come far short. Remember what we saw in Psalm 145? Just before our text, the first two verses say, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name, when? Forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. And so, we should be praising God without ceasing. The second thing this shows us is that God is much greater than any problem I have. We seem to magnify our problems and our troubles and minimize God who's there to help us with them. Oh, this is such a big obstacle or such a big problem. How will I ever make it through? Well, what does Romans 8:31 say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? This God we're talking about here is our Heavenly Father, and He's for us. Yeah, we have a lot of enemies and adversaries ranged against us, but who can really be against us if this God is for us? Like he says in verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors through Him. The third thing this tells us is that there will be much that God does in our lives that we will be unable to understand. I can't figure out what's going on. Well, who are you? Are you as great as God? In Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. We saw before, His understanding is infinite. You going to be able to figure it all out? Job 36. Verse 26. Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. We can't fully comprehend God. Neither can the number of His years be searched out. He's an eternal God, an omniscient God. Job chapter 37, verse 5, God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He, which we cannot comprehend. And verse 23 says, touching the Almighty, we cannot find Him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. And of course, Isaiah 55 reminds us of this truth when he says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we need to humble ourselves before God, not to insist that He tells us what He's doing and why He's doing it. He's in the heavens with His purposes. We need to be in the dust with our submissions. Paul summarized it best in Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, I want chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments. All right, we know it right up front. We're not going to be able to figure them out. They're beyond us, by far. His ways are past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? Not us. He doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't ask our advice. He does what He pleases, and whatever He does is right. And the last thing this tells us is, if we are saved in Jesus Christ, we are incalculably wealthy. Think of it this way. God, His greatness is unsearchable. Well, what we have in Christ is also unsearchable. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said in verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles what? The unsearchable riches of Christ. We are unsearchably rich in Christ as believers. Just as God is unsearchable in His being, we have unsearchable riches through His Son. How do we have that? Well, 1 John chapter 2, Verse 23 says, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." Who's the Father? What's our text? "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." That's our Father in heaven. God our Father. And what's Psalm 48 say in closing? Verse 1, it says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." And what's verse 14 say? "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. This God is our God. All this greatness is ours in Christ, because we are his and he is ours. We'll close in prayer.